And now on Nights with Steve Price, the Europe Report with Hugh Whitfeld from 7 News.
Yes, and I haven't heard much more emotional reporting than what I heard about this British tourist who comforted the Australian boy Julian Cadman, who tragically died in that Barcelona terror attack. Hugh Whitfeld reported on this tonight. He really, the way he put it, it was so heart-wrenching, wasn't it?
And I think part of that, Steve, is that Harry Aspel has his own boy about the same age. And so when he was having lunch on the Rumbler and saw the entire thing happen and then see young Julian on the ground there some distance from his injured mother, the first thing he went over and he realised fairly quickly that he had passed away. And he cradled Julian's head. He talks about wiping away the long hair over his face and waiting for police to come to him. Obviously, paramedics and police were dealing with those who were injured and could potentially be saved. But I think, unfortunately, it was fairly clear fairly early on that, that Julian had been killed very early in the sequence of events. And Harry has been quite outspoken on British television about his feelings, obviously being caught up in an attack like that, give you a different perspective. And he is just ropeable that that these sort of things are happening in an area where he would have felt safe on holidays in Barcelona.
Given the words that he expressed, I hope the Australian government gets in touch with him and says thank you. I'm sure Alexander Downer will probably do that. I mean, he made the point that poor little boy was laying there, Julian, on face down, and he said, "I, given the nature of his injuries, I didn't want to move him. I put my hand on his back. He wasn't breathing." And then he had a police officer shouting at him to leave. And this is the quote that really got to me, Hugh. "I'm not going to let these cowards come back and run over him. Not a chance in hell." He stroked the boy's thick brown hair and said a silent prayer for him. It's just brings tears to your eyes.
And it's the sort of position that nobody wants to find themselves in. But his reaction, I think, is what you would hope everyone's reaction would be in a situation like that. And of course, nobody knows how they're going to react. But I think if you were in Harry Aspel's shoes, you would hope that everyone around you has the humanity to behave the way that, that he did.
We've now got, obviously, a couple of these people in custody. There'll be a court case. And there'll be a hell of a lot more investigation into what was going on. Is there any debate in the UK from people thinking, oh, maybe I'll give up my trip to Spain, to France, to Europe, stay home, don't go there? Or do people just carry on as normal?
Look, I think there's a degree of carry on. There must have been cancellations. There were a few vacant seats on the way back from Barcelona, and I know that it was very hard for a lot of people to get out of Barcelona, though, because it was so, people were trying to get out. I know, anecdotally, remarkably, friends of mine who were in Paris with me when I was there for the Bataclan attack.
Because you're on leave, weren't you? You weren't actually working. You were there on a trip.
That's right. And the friends I was with texted me as I was heading to the airport last Thursday saying, "We're about to head to Gatwick for a weekend away in Barcelona, but we're not going now."
Yeah.
So, you know, the thing is about Europe, as you know, it's 2 hours flight. It's like going for a weekend up the coast.
Yeah.
It's just so easy to go to these places. I think there'll be families certainly reconsidering it, but on the whole, you know, Europe is dealing with one of its biggest crises, apart from the terrorism, is the overcrowding of a lot of these resort places and beachside towns. So I don't think it's having a huge impact yet, but I think it's having an impact on the way people behave when they're on holidays, for sure.
Talking to Hugh Whitfeld, we're a week and a day, 8 days away from the 20th anniversary of the death of Princess Diana. Everyone listening to me will remember where they were when that happened. Another documentary out this weekend.
Yeah, and it will seem to you and I and everybody else listening that there has been seems like there's been a lot of talk about Diana in the last couple of weeks, and this build-up to the anniversary next week is reaching a crescendo over the next couple of days. Harry and William sat down for three big interviews back in March. Now, earlier this a couple of weeks ago, we saw Diana, our mother's story, which was them opening up their private albums, going through their memories of their mother. We had the Diana Tapes documentary on Channel 4 the other week, which was hugely controversial. Obviously, the family not involved with that. But the other big documentary that the boys have been involved with is this one on the BBC this weekend, which is called Diana 7 Days. And it marks the 7 days from her death on the Saturday, Sunday, that weekend when she died in 1997, and that week leading up to the funeral, which was obviously a hugely tumultuous time for the royal family and their public profile, with the anger really directed at the Queen about not lowering the flag on Buckingham Palace and not bringing the boys back to London.
Well, it was famously fictionalised in that movie, The Queen, wasn't it?
With Helen Mirren.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think we've heard from William and Harry so much about that period over the last 20 years, but they have opened up in this documentary. William and Harry defend their father and his handling of the process. They confirm that he was the one who sat them down at Balmoral Castle and broke the news to them of what had happened to their mother the night before. Of course, they were all asleep when the news broke. They let the boys sleep for a little bit and then woke them up to tell them that heartbreaking news. Harry talked about the anger that he has towards the paparazzi who were pursuing that Mercedes driven by Henry Paul, and says he cannot. His anger is directed at them because he can't understand why those snappers would pursue, and then when the crash happened, continue to take photos of Diana dying in the back of that car, and then go away without stopping to help. And I guess, if you were him, you can entirely understand his anger, and most people would be more than angry about that. They also defend the Queen and her handling of the entire situation, but we know that in the past Harry has been vocal already this year about the fact that he was not happy now, in hindsight, about the way that the boys were pretty much forced to walk behind the carriage carrying Diana's body. And there is some commentary here this morning basically saying, you know, it in hindsight, it was unfair of the public to pressure the royals to be so public in their mourning and pushing those teenage boys to walk so solemnly behind their mother's body. So, you know, it does open all these old wounds again. There's one more documentary to come on ITV next Tuesday, which has a similar theme, without the involvement of the two princes, looking back at that week called The Week That Britain Wept. And then, of course, there'll be a huge amount of chatter and commentary and reflection on the 30th here, the 31st in Australia, the day that she did pass away.
Yes, I'm sure a lot of our audience will soak up all of that and watch it. Good on you, Hugh. Thank you for your help tonight. I'll talk to you soon.
Cheers, Steve.
Hugh Whitfield there from Channel 7.